Welcome to Kingdom Mandate with Apostle Sidney Quay, head pastor of Shekinah Avenue. Now, let's listen to today's message.
We wait for you. We have been looking at the blessing, and I promised to preach nothing but the blessing, and I have done that for the past 6 Sundays. The first emphasis was on our spirit. Now, the next emphasis will be on our soul. I'm making the distinctions very clear. I have preached how blessed you are in your spirit. I have explained what you have become in the spirit by teaching on being born of the word and being born of the spirit. I have taken time to teach that so that spiritually you will know that you are blessed. And I explained in my last discussion that we don't have a problem spiritually, because salvation is first spiritual. I've explained that. So what has been saved is your spirit. And because it is your spirit that has become a new creation, you don't have a problem with your spirit. And that is one of the biggest lies the devil throws at the believer. And people go about seeking for solution to something that was corrected by salvation. And once you do that, you will be frustrated. I like something that Jonah said. And I'll say this and will not be tempted to talk about Jonah. Jonah said that those that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. When a man holds on to lies, what he has done is that the mercy that was ordained in truth for him, he has forsaken it. And Jonah pointed out this clearly. That is why I have taught against fables, stories. That is like Hollywood kind of stories, where believers feel their spirit as a problem, when the Bible says that your spirit is complete in Christ. Your spirit is perfected in Christ. Your spirit is reconciled. Your spirit is anointed. Your spirit is sealed. Your spirit is blessed. This is what the Bible teaches. But having said all this, now we are moving a step forward, which is you are going to now learn how to draw all these things that are within your spirit through your soul into the natural, so that it does not look like it's a controversy, but what is in your spirit is reflected on the outside. Today I'll take my time and teach God's word, because for this period of time it's instruction. It is not shouting. I will end with shouting, but it's instruction. Your spirit must be exercised. Your soul must be educated and trained. And your body must be disciplined. Paul said that I don't want to preach the gospel and be a castaway just by not bringing my body under subjection. Your soul must be very educated in God. As for your spirit, you must be exercising it in prayer, meditation, confessions, and all that. So we are starting with the instructions in the blessing. We have looked at what the blessing is. We are now looking at the instructions to adhere, to follow in the blessing. We said an instruction, it is the act of educating, giving the steps that must be followed or giving an order. So when you are instructed, you have been given an order, or you have been educated by being shown steps to follow. This is the difficult part of the word of God. People don't like this one. People don't like this one. This part, people don't like. They don't like instructions. The things, order and things to follow, people don't like. They want to be like the civil rights movement. Everybody is fighting for what? Their rights. Such that even those who are doing evil are asking for their rights. Such that you see in our world that people are asking for rights to be gays, something that is contrary to nature.
Even animals don't do that. No animal crossbreed male plus male. Have you seen goat, he goat chasing after he goat? And you have gone to the forest and seen a lion chasing after another lion. But people are now fighting for that kind of a thing. And people say that it is genetically programmed. But from where? This thing is not new. It is as old as Sodom and Gomorrah. As old as that. So it is not new at all. So people don't like instructions. God says that he created a man for a woman. They don't want instructions. They want to experiment. God says that wine is not good. Somebody wants to experiment. You know, this is the difficult part. That's why I'm starting now. He says that wine is a mocker, but somebody still wants to taste some. And sometimes I had somebody tasted it, and when he tasted it, said, there is something in this world. But the Bible teaches it. The only person permitted in the Bible, I think, was Timothy in the epistles, that he should take wine because of his many infirmities. Are you sick? Do you have sickness or infirmities? No. You see where I'm starting? These instructions, like a man should live with a woman and a wife in knowledge. A man should love and walk in the way of love. I sent somebody a book. A person read, brought back complaints. I looked at the person, do you need deliverance? Do you need freedom? Simple instructions. You see, an instruction to the believer is life. When you miss instruction, you have missed life. Something like, don't forsake the gathering together of yourself. As the manner of some is, it's an instruction. You can challenge it any day, you can shout about it. But when you are lied to and you forsake instruction, you have forsaken your life. It is that serious. I am going to read some things to you. Today, the first instruction we are receiving is the instruction of repentance. I want you to pay attention. Repentance. That is our first instruction as a ministry. In the blessing, repentance. What is repentance? The doctrine of repentance as taught in the Bible is a call to a person to make a radical turn from one way of life to another. Pay attention to the second part. The repentance metanoia throughout the Bible is a summon to a personal, absolute, and ultimate, unconditional surrender to God as sovereign. This is repentance. But as men, we have made it about sin. There is the baptism of repentance, which is what John the Baptist preached. The slides are there later. You can find it and read. That's Acts 19:4. Let me read it for you. Acts 19:4. At least before I come and read my main text, I want you to pay attention, because this period of time is about instructions. If you listen and listen clearly, all that we have preached about in the year, if you can practice the things we will say at this time, you will see them without any sweat, not even one sweat. I can promise you in the name of the Lord. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now, this is what John preached. But as human as men are, they will hear what the man said, they like the practice. So he putting people in underwater. Water never takes anybody's sins away. But the water by which he immersed people in was so that they will come and listen to what he had to say. So he said that I am come to baptize so that you might see the Christ, and that the Christ might be revealed. So the purpose of the baptism was not that the soldiers should just turn away from their evil works. No, it was so that Christ can be revealed. But of course, man will reduce it to sin. That is what he likes. Repentance is bigger than sin. Follow. After this, there is repentance from dead works. It's in Hebrews 6:1. Let me just go faster. That is when you turn away from any work that you think can save you. When you don't rely on anything you do as a source of your salvation, we call it repentance from what? Dead works. Any works that anybody tells you to do to be saved is dead. It is not alive. I'm teaching you, because there are a lot of lies outside there. I'm taking my time. to teach. There is nothing, whether you travel to Jerusalem, to India, whether you wear a gown from your head right to your toe, none of those works saves anyone. The salvation is only found in a person, that is Christ. So we are told that we should stop the works, turn our hearts, and come to the Lord. I like the way one preacher even said that you don't have a life in the first place to give to God. So you don't even say you're coming to give your life. You're a dead man. What are you giving? What life do you have to even give? You come to receive. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth will be saved, not condemned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So there is that repentance. Then there is the third level of repentance, which is repentance unto life. It is not from works, it is repentance unto life. Now, this is where a lot of people don't stay. I want to read the text for you. Acts 11:15-18. I've not touched my main text. I'll read it for you. When you have instruction, you have life. Proverbs 4:13. When you have instruction, you have life. Proverbs 10:17. Proverbs 12. He says that when you receive instruction, you'll be delivered from shame and poverty. So it is very important. Acts 11:15-18. It says that after Peter went and preached to the Gentiles, Cornelius and the family, and the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke. When he returned back to the company, the apostles, James and the others, when he came back, they sat him down and they questioned him. They said, why did you go and preach the gospel to people who are Gentiles, who don't know God? When did you have that audacity to go and preach? So Peter had to take his time to explain. You imagine Peter the apostle sat down by Jews, that why did you go out and go and preach to Gentiles? And he had to begin to narrate the story, that look, it was not the I who went. No, the man saw a vision, and the man had my address, and the man had where I was living. He saw my house address, the house I was living, and whilst he was sending people, I also received a vision. Then he said that when I received the vision, the Holy Ghost said I should go with them. What can I do? So I followed them. I went to the house, and before I began talking, whilst I was talking, the Holy Ghost fell on them. So it is not even about me. I have not gone through. I just went. I was telling them that about Jesus. Immediately, the Holy Ghost was in a hurry, because for 12 years, they had refused to preach to Gentiles. They had refused to preach. That is why he quoted repentance unto life. So then he explained to James and his company. James and his company, they were very, very controversial. They were law abiding and they wanted the church, the body, to come to Jewish setting like today. A lot of people are doing. They want to celebrate Passover. They want to celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. You wonder, what part does that have with our salvation? What we have been delivered from, and they have been delivered from, which could not save them. Are we going back to that? They're going to lay down instructions. Peter, the head of the apostles, before seated at council, answering to James, the brother of Jesus Christ. He had assumed a position in the church. They are all in the clouds and they are watching what I'm saying. What I'm saying is true. Let's read a little. The guy gave troubles. So Peter answered and said, this is the order of the way things went. Then they said, okay. Then James said, okay. Actually, it's written in the Bible that in the last days I will restore the tabernacle of David. Okay. So it is something like that. And they accepted. But in the conversation, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace. That means that they were causing trouble. They kept quiet and glorified God, saying, then had God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, the life you have received, you need education in the life. You need a change of your thinking. Usually, we say you need to change your mind, but nobody can change their mind. You change the way you think by thinking with the mind of Christ within this mind that is in you. If you don't change the way you think, you can't change. I am born of God. I am born from above. I am the manifestation of the word. I am reconciled to God. My spirit is blessed. I am anointed and sealed with the Holy Ghost. All the promises of God, they are yes and amen to me. You are repenting unto life. You are learning the process of making a change according to the life that you have received. The Bible says if there is carnality, if there are strifes, if there are fightings among you, then I fear to tell you that you are babies. You are only feeding on milk and not on solid food. And Paul then said that then you are living like mere men. You are not called to live like a mere man. You are called to live the life of the Son of God. You have received the Spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ, the anointing of the Christ. You are not ordinary at all. By repentance, you change your mind quickly. You don't live like a mere man. The Bible says if you are born the image of the earthy, then we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Where our cells are alive, our blood is alive, our organs are alive, we have no fear for death, we have no fear for the enemy, because to die is to be present with the Lord. I declare to you, you are not a mere man. You are not a mere man. I like the way Pastor Chris said it. He said, don't say I will catch the flu, say I will kill the flu. Until you begin believing like this, the life will be trapped in your body. You have love in you and not loving. Peace in you and confused. A healing in you and sick. Bread in you and lacking. That is the frustration of a lot of Christians. They quote all the scriptures, yet they are sick on the bed. And the world is fighting things they can't handle. Yesterday I was flipping on the net, then I saw the young man who did Black Panther. You know, I've been telling you that I like the Marvel series. I watch Avenger Infinity, Avenger Endgame, Spider-Man. Because you see, the world needs superheroes. The world cannot exist without that. And the superheroes are seated. The superheroes are seated. They act movies where they are looking for men who are healing the sick. And here you are with a commission. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and we are seated comfortably at home, following no instruction. And as I was reading the thing, I felt, to tell you the truth, nothing moves me. Nothing at all. Things don't move me. But for once, as I read the thing, I look at it. Then I said, let me go back and read a little about this guy. I've enjoyed the movie, I've not read. Then I went to read. The first three lines I read made me more sad. A Christian, strong Christian, strong Christian, in charge of youth organizations, preaching the gospel. See, when I read that, there's something there. You see, that is why we are teaching some of these things. Because later on, after 6 weeks, I will move from the soul and now come to the body. Talk about things like long life, bodily health, properties, money, men. I will talk about natural things after 6 weeks. I begin to talk about how we can get gold outside, how we have to own properties. Somebody said it's not necessary. Be there. Be there until you begin renting. You won't think twice. Until you are in glory and you see that you are not a good man. Because a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Poverty is a curse. Poverty is never to be allowed anywhere near you. The Bible says the poor man's poverty shall destroy him. Maybe you don't know. The Bible says when there is a poor man in a city and is even wise, because of his poverty, nobody will listen to him. That is what poverty can do. I declare over your life, the abundance of God be over your tabernacle. The abundance of God be over your work. Be over your home. I declare that you shall not lack. You shall flow in abundance. Altogether, out of praise. Instruction. The first instruction is repentance. Total, absolute dependence on God. I'm going to launch into the preaching very soon. Let me read for you. You see, there is a story about Job. I feel like talking to you for a while. Let me read Job 42, 1 to 6, so that I talk from my heart and from my mind. Write this text down. Write 2 Chronicles 16, 7 to 9. Write Job chapter number 1, Job chapter number 29, and Job chapter number 42. Write it down. Matthew 4, 17. You can write it down also. If you have written them down, I need your heart now. Then Job answered the Lord and said, now pay attention to what Job is going to say. I know that thou canst, you can do everything, and that no thought can be held back from you. Then God said, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, have I uttered that I understood not? This Job, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. God will talk back. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me. God is telling him, pay attention. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear. Call on. But now my eyes see thee. Wherefore, because my eyes have seen you, and the words you have said, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. He did what? He repented. Until he got here, he was in captivity. Until our repentance shows forth, many will still be in captivity.
So Sydney Quay will be right back. Follow us on all our social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Skype, YouTube, at Shekinah Avenue. Continues.
This is not repentance of sin. No, repentance of sin is a preaching. The forgiveness of sin is a preach. The basis of the repentance from sin is confession of your sins. That is the basis. The highest of the repentance from sin is when a man realizes that sin shall not have dominion over him. Pay attention. There are a lot of Christians who sin and they blame the devil. You are a liar. No, it's not the devil. The devil never, I'm saying it again, the devil never, never, take it from, I said the devil never and never made you to sin. You sin yourself. This is real repentance from sin. When you wake up and you understand, the devil doesn't make you angry. You got angry yourself. Because the Bible said, let not anger. He said, be angry and sin not. You have control over anger. It's not the devil. He said, give no place to him. Don't let him use your anger. It was generated from you. The Bible said that when a man is tempted, he's tempted when he is drawn away by his own evil lust. The Bible also said, God does not tempt anyone with evil, but any man is tempted with evil. So when I see people who fornicate, they are not wise. Adultery, you are not wise. You are a big unwise man. I don't want to use the other word. I see young men who chase girls, they are unwise. The Bible says, this is understanding, that a man departs from evil. The fear of God is wisdom. You see the things I'm saying? Because we are at the point where you need to hear it. Because God will bless us. But these things need to deeply be rooted in your heart. I am saying it again. If you beat your wife, you are unwise. If you insult your husband, you are another unwise person. I said, they reported a woman to me. What the woman can do in the house. I understand the woman can throw plates. And the husband has to swerve in the kitchen. When they said it, I said, how? This woman? I know this woman. She's not like that. Then one day, in the heat of the fight, the guy dialed my number and I picked it. When I picked it, I saw he had called. Then I heard at the background, insult that I can't tell you. Then before I hear, you know, when a plate breaks, crack, crack, twice, I said, hey. So later, I sat with her. I said, you were fighting. No, I said, I heard it. He said, boss, it was not me, it was the devil. I said, no devil. You are a believer. You are not a child of disobedience. The spirit of disobedience doesn't work in you. It's the Holy Ghost that is in you. It is you who want to do it. Don't put it on the devil again. It is never the Holy Ghost. For the fruit of the created spirit is love, peace, humility, self-control, temperance, kindness. It is what you are. It is what you are. Don't let anybody tell you any other thing. Sin shall not dominate over us. No. We are men even as old as the Old Testament. God told Cain, he said, sin lies at your door, but master over it. Even Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to repent. But my emphasis is not on the sin. It's the repentance unto life. This is Job. In the Bible, the only person that suffered beyond Job is Christ. The only person in the Bible that suffered beyond Job is Christ. For Christ suffered so much that the Bible said he lost his figure. He was mad. He became like a worm. Because his body, his spirit, his soul, everything was under pressure and sin. Nobody suffered like him. But next to him is Job. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. I understand. Some people say Job's suffering was 3 months. Some say 6 months. Some even say it might be 2 years. But the case is that the man suffered until he repented. Listen, I have seen so much in ministry. I've seen a lot. Sometimes the experiences you counsel people on, there is a family. I was always on them. Stop fighting. Stop fighting. Stop fighting. The gift of God is in you. Love, patience. They fought until I gave up. And one day, I sat down. Then I had a call. What was it? They had lost their daughter. Then when the woman saw me, she said, "Oh, Apostle, how can this happen?" I said, "Have you read James before?" She said, "Apostle." I said, "He says, where there is strife, there is confusion. 1, 2, every other evil work." So your daughter that lies down, it's not that I am not anointed. Nobody can do anything about it. It's gone. You had chance just to a little thing, but you won't take it. These are instructions. The Bible says, when I went astray from your word, I was afflicted. Anytime you are in suffering, don't blame witches. First, check your way, whether you are walking in God's word. If you don't check it, and it is a disobedience to God's word, or not walking rightly, or not aligning your path, you open up yourself to unnecessary things. And this makes God sad. Very sad. Very sad. Because Christ has died to purchase every single thing we need. All things that pertain to life and godliness has been bought and paid for. Healing bought and paid for. Deliverance bought and paid for. Dominion bought and paid for. But only if men can repent, they can turn their eyes and look at what has been made available. I want to give you the history of Job so that you understand. The Bible said the suffering of Job was so intense that in a day, the man went through what other men can go through. What do you not even wish for your enemies? Imagine in one day a man loses 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 female donkeys, 500 working tractors in cows. A man loses it just in a few days, and it was concurrent. I came, I said, "Oh, Dr. Steven, the thing that was there, fire has caught on it." He said, before you could talk about it, another person comes. You have lost all your camels. And not just the camels. He loses the camels together with all the servants, save one. He loses the cow together with all the servants, save one. Then another man comes, not only the cattle, the farming animals, all stolen. When he thought it was enough, then the last person comes. Your 10 children that were celebrating the elder brother's birthday. Those 10 children, a wind came and blew the four corners of the pillars and fell on all of them. They are all gone. If it was, what will he do? He heard his prayer. He prayed a prayer we pray, which is not scriptural. God giveth, God taketh away. Naked came, naked I go. For your information, Jesus didn't go naked. After having lost all these things, now the Bible said, after the devil did this, the devil sought for another opportunity and beckoned for the man's life. Then God said, "You can't take his life, but you can touch his flesh." It was permitted. You think God is punishing him? You check that chapter 3. Then you see where the problem is. Because the Bible said, when he offered offerings to God, he did it so that peradventure, if his sons have sinned, they will be forgiven. Job 3, 25, 26 says, he said, "The things I greatly feared," he had fear for them already, "they are the things that have come unto me. The things that have befallen me are the things I feared." So what was the open gate? Not God, his fear. There are many people doing so many things in the house of God. Don't let fear be the motivation. Know the God that you are dealing with. You know Job's greatest problem? It was not sin. It was self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. His problem was self-righteousness. I offer offerings. I offered offerings for my sons. I am a man that hates evil. I am a man that feeds the naked. I look after the widows. I take care of the fatherless. I am an eye to the blind, ears to the deaf. I, Job, self-righteous. When you read 36, when the friends came to him and they sat with him to talk, the Bible said when they saw him from afar, he has shaved his hair, not with razor, with broken pots. Shaved his hair, tore his clothes. The Bible said when the three friends saw him from afar, they began crying from far. And when they got to Job, for 7 days, 7 nights, they couldn't encourage him. They all sat down and wept for 7 days. After 7 days, then the first one gathered courage. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, they gathered courage to talk to Job. And these are the things they said. They said so many things. When God appeared to Job, he said, look, your friends didn't talk to you well. They didn't represent me well. Because you know Job's case? Job said that I am righteous and I am more righteous than God. What I am going through, I don't deserve it. And the friends couldn't answer him. He said, I have offered, I have given, I have prayed, I have been holy. What is this? Then the three friends, they couldn't answer. They said, no, you are not righteous. Job said, if I'm not righteous, then why this? They said, this is the reward of an armed robber. Somebody who does not fear God, this is what happens to him. They broke him with words, crushed him with words. Be careful who talks to you and be careful what you listen. Because listen, I want to tell you this on authority. According to Luke 8, it says, when you hear something is added to you or taken away from you, you will not know. That is the concept of hearing. So I choose who I listen to as a preacher. I don't listen to everybody, no matter what they do. Because when I listen, something is being added and something is being taken. How did you lose your peace? Somebody said, just said something, you lost your peace. You were joyful the whole day, something was just said, you lost. You just, by hearing, something was taken away from. Jesus said that when you hear well, things shall be added to you. If you don't hear well, things shall be taken. Job, they added frustrations until Job got to the place he was exhausted. Then he began to speak foolishly. He said, I, Job, I am more righteous than God. When you even take me to court, I am righteous, but God is denying me my rights. Then he went ahead, spoke foolishly out of his heart. When people suffer, they talk anyhow. And when people feel God is involved in their suffering, they talk anyhow. Come and see Job. He spoke and spoke until the three friends could not answer him. Then the youngest guy among them, Elihu said, I thought wisdom was for the grown up, but now I am realizing that all these guys who came, who are old, great, and look wise, they are all not wise, they are foolish. For there is an inspiration in man. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Then he began to open up to Job. He said, Job, listen, you can't even tell God that you are righteous. No, you cannot compare yourself to God. God is superior to men. Two, when God takes an action, nobody can question him. So you have no right to even question. Listen, then Elihu went ahead. He said, I want to speak for God. God is the only one that is able to make kings bow. He is able to bring the proud down and humble the wicked. It's only God. He said, I keep quiet, don't speak anyhow. Then Elihu went ahead and said, in Job 36, I'll read the first three verses for you. Job 36, listen to what Elihu said about Job and the friends. Repentance, turning away. Elihu also proceeded and said, suffer me a little, and I will see thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to what? He is ascribing righteousness to who? His maker. Job 32, 1 to 3. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in where? Please, can you read? What does he say? He was what? Righteous in where? His own eyes. 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu the son of Bakar, because he justified himself rather than God. Pay attention to the 3. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer, yet had condemned Job. Job was righteous in his own eye. And his problem is the problem of a lot of Christians. They trust in their prayer more, fasting more. Whatever they do, they trust that more than the righteousness that Christ has provided. That is where we start our repentance. It doesn't end here. Elihu talks for God. After Elihu finished talking, Then God showed up, because for once somebody has spoken for him. Then God showed up. He said, Job, come, I want to ask you questions. He said, Job, are you the one that created the rain, the snow, the stars? Do you know how they were created? Are you able to command the morning? Are you able to talk to Pleiades, Arcturus, Mesaroth? Are you able to send them? Can you send the lightning and they will go and come? Job said, no, sir. Then he went ahead and said, do you know how the eagle flies and mounts on wings? The hawk, how he flies? Do you know the behemoth? Do you know the levantine? What do you know about creation? Do you know where the door of light is? Where the door of death is? Are you the one that shut the sea? Job said, no. God said, I am not done yet. Come, I want to ask you more questions. Then God told him, do you know the ostrich? Do you know the lion? Are you the one that gets food for the lion? God said, do you know how the deer gives birth? The wild goat, do you know? And God began to ask him strong questions. He said, when I laid the foundations of the earth, were you there? Do you know what supports the earth? God said, no, sir. He said, do you know the measurement? He said, no, sir. He said, are you the one that instructed the sea not to cross the shores? Though its waves are roaring, are you the one that commanded? He said, no, sir. I have more questions for you. Come. Listen. Now I am ending my message now. After God asked all these questions, what was he trying to do? He was trying to get Job to the place of repentance. And as soon as Job got there, this is the first thing he says. Now I know that you can do everything, which means that now God can turn his captivity around. Immediately God said, Ayadeleme tabakasata. He said, your prayers are heard. And starting right now, your restoration is double. Receive 14,000 sheep. Job, receive 6,000 camels, 1,000 oxen, receive children to replace, because the man has repented. I want to repent. I have a mandate to repent. I can't challenge God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if God said we are righteous, we are righteous. I am not challenged. If God said you are more than a conqueror, yes, sir, I am more than a conqueror. Repentance. God can do anything. The day of repentance has come. It is not the repentance of sin. Is repentance unto life. What did God say? If he said it will become it, we have repented. If he says, I send you like Moses, your pastor, and I declare over your life that starting today, under the sound of my voice, you have already repented, and I declare by the word of God, a healing shall flow in your body, liberty in your body, deliverance in your home, preservation over your territory. Amen. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. I am blessing you. After that, you take declarations. I declare over your life, your God is mighty to heal your body.
Amen.
You shall not die young.
Amen.
God is more capable to keep you alive. Just change your mind. He said, though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you. Only with your eye, I declare your body healed, your soul healed, your spirit healed. I declare it now. Receive it. I see angels of God all around. I declare over you, the God that opens gates in darkness, he will open gates for you in the day. And that gate cannot be shut. I release it now. What you don't deserve will be gathered and brought to your house.
Amen.
What you don't deserve financially will be gathered and brought into your account.
Amen.
Into your business.
Amen.
Receive it. Can you imagine that within a day, a man received double? I stand as your pastor. For anything you have ever lost in this COVID season, I declare it is an error that is corrected.
Jesus.
Receive your double.
Receive
four times. Receive a hundredfold. No disease can kill you.
Amen.
No disease can kill your body. You will fulfill your assignment. You will finish your course. You will run your race. Receive it. My mind has changed about God. He is not in competition with the devil. He is not limited by resources. He knows where the riches are even in darkness. He knows where the riches are even in light. I declare, receive it.
I
declare, receive it.
I
declare, receive it.
I
declare, receive it.
I
declare, receive it. When you read Job 29, Job tells you how he was before he went into captivity. He said, when the Almighty, his lamp was over my head and his light was in my darkness, when princes rose up to me and kings stood as still to listen to my wisdom, when I spoke, no man spoke. He said, when God was with me, I have information for you. God is not just with you. God is for you.
And God is not just for you. God is in you. And I declare, starting today, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, receive benefits, receive rewards. What you don't qualify for, what your father's fathers did not receive, what nobody has enjoyed in your family, today by grace, I hand it over to you. I hand it over to you. That which killed people in your home, killed people in your neighborhood, it shall rather give you life. It shall rather give you life. It shall rather give you life. You will count gold like sand. You shall count gold like sand.
Amen.
Silver shall be like stones.
Amen.
Hey, I prophesy.
Jesus.
Abundance over your health.
Amen.
Abundance over your home.
Amen.
Abundance over your life.
Amen.
Receive it. Listen.
The day we repent, you will not know what is called weakness. You will not know what is called confusion.
You will not know it. Because God is so close to a repentant man. Hear the words as I end. Shatakatakaha. Madagrata katakata, madele kamata katayas, mila deria gabaradis. I declare on Friday, the longer you live,
Jesus,
the brighter you will become. The longer you live,
Jesus,
the brighter you will become.
Amen.
The longer you live, the brighter you will become.
Amen.
That is the rhema for the service. The longer you live,
Jesus,
at your job,
Jesus,
your finances,
Jesus,
your marriage,
Jesus,
the longer it takes,
amen,
the brighter it will become.
Amen.
Give the Lord a sustained 1 minute shout.
Yeah.
Give the Lord a sustained,
yeah,
1 minute shout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Mandate with Apostle Sidney Quay, Head Pastor of Shekinah Avenue. For prayer and counseling, please call 0200-999-852. Join us for our Sunday services from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Locate us at Shekinah Avenue Auditorium, opposite the Washing Bay, Saika, Obodo, East Legon. Same time next week. Remain blessed.